Odell Beckham Jr. Who? Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long. With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, till you.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 225. Rookie Fever, here for your fantasy football teams to thrive. Here, as always, with the feverish Fanero and FF Spaceman himself. Still lowercase, mind you.
I haven't earned a promotion yet to get to capitals, so I'll stay with the lowers.
Coming in hot. A little bit of maybe like what we're doing with this class. Spitballing about the 2022 rookie class. Before we hit record, Dave asked the question that I thought was worth bringing to the show, and that was Michael Pittman or Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I had to pause. I truly had to pause a little bit and think about it. I have an answer, and I'm gonna go with Amon-Ra St. Brown and what he did with his rookie year. And I think that there's going to be a lot of questions throughout this offseason that we continue to hear that will give me a day when I don't have to worry about Pittman versus Amon-Ra St. Brown, because I think Amon-Ra St. Brown will be cheaper in a month or two no matter what happens. There could be no changes, but there will be an echo chamber, and it will affect your feelings towards Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I don't think that today's the day to go and get him. I want to so bad. I keep looking around at all these damn teams that have Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I want to make an offer. I know what I'm willing to pay, and I think what I'm willing to pay, I could sometimes get the deals done for, but I don't think I have to pay it in a month or two. So I'm hedging my bets a little bit here on this, because I don't feel like this will stay there. I feel like this hype will wear off a little bit. I feel like this is one of the rookie fevers that the temperature will lower a little bit. And that's kind of some of the stuff I wanted to talk about and try to do, and like send people, like, who do you go get now before the temperature goes up more? Like, who's going to maybe have like a like tempered expectation, and who, like, maybe I'm saying about Amon-Ra St. Brown, maybe you guys think I'm wrong and you just need to go get him now. Maybe you guys are uninterested, but I think that you could get him cheaper in a month. Easier. Is that fair?
The first question that comes to mind, Swags, is because I do feel like you do strongly believe that the value will go down. And you mentioned the echo chamber and Twitter and how we can all succumb to that. What are just curious, start it up now off of Twitter. What are some of the things we're going to hear?
Detroit is definitely going to add a wide receiver, a veteran.
Absolutely.
These are the available wide receivers. One of them is going to Detroit, or they're going to get one via the draft. He's a fourth round draft pick, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They didn't have anybody else to throw to.
Yeah.
You're going to hear a lot of things that people are going to forget what he actually did. And those are the things you're going to have to try your hardest to cancel out. Stay strong, persevere. Like, I want him to have another wide receiver there. I don't even care. They're probably going to have, that's accurate. They should have, we want another wide receiver in Detroit. We don't just want Amon-Ra St. Brown, no matter how good he is. And I think that that will help him. Even if he's not targeted as heavily, his production should go up.
Hey, there's going to be a whole month of Quintez Cephas truthers coming out of the woodwork too.
Oh, you're my,
like, right? There's going to be Quintez Cephas month, right? That'll be
Can
around.
Can you drop him, Dave?
Can I drop him? I don't know. He's on IR. Why would
you? Are you dropping Quintez Cephas?
No, because the Quintez Cephas crowd is loyal. They're riding him. They're loyal. They're not. They've got the tattoo. They've got the jersey. It's there.
Man, Dave turned around and showed us his Quentin Cephas jersey. Pantless, mind you. It was a half moon. Sure, I was covering up a little bit.
Guys like the new camera I got? No.
I think you did a good job explaining what is going to be in that echo chamber. I think I'm already hearing the there was no Swift, there was no Hawk. So I hear that a lot right now. And I think I agree with most of what you said. I think they will add a wide receiver, whether it's a free agent or through the draft, and I think they should, and that it won't have a great enormous effect. I think Amon-Ra matured late in the season, and it was his targets, but it was a lot more than his targets. We've seen other wide receivers get late targets in the season and do almost nothing with them. So it's not just the targets. So the thing that I, when the Pittman thing was brought up by Dave, I find myself, and I hate this sometimes about how I play this game, but I find myself sometimes feeling a little bit more secure with a larger volume of information. Like I find five games scary. Like they were a scary five games, meaning they won a lot of people championships, but they're also a short period of time. And that those kind of things always scare me. I remember Kenyon Drake just blew up at the end of a season for Arizona. Just seemed like a clear cut RB1, just amazing numbers. And I've seen over the years of watching football, you know, for decades now, one hit wonders, short periods of time, like really, you know, burning flames that get you really excited and then get let down. None of which of what I'm saying is going to happen. It's a concern. It's this thing that's this builds in the back of my head that, you know, was it a short period of time and a lot of circumstances that created this, or is this guy good? And then what I do to try to sustain any enthusiasm I have for a player, honestly, is probably what a lot of people don't do. And I look at what other players say about this player, what the coach says about this player, and there's a lot of positive language, and it goes down to his, like, I believe I've learned so much about Amon-Ra in the last week and a half because of how great he's done. I think his father was either an Olympian or, you know,
both,
you know, Dave?
Both parents were.
We're talking about, like, not only like genetically, but like also like how he was brought up. Just as far as, like, you know, just basically being brought up as a winner and a hard worker. And you're hearing all of these things across the team about how hard of a worker he is. So I don't think it was just a chasm or a group of things that has happened at the right time to create this burning light. But I do know myself. I do know how I play this game. And I think we are going to hear those things in the echo chamber. But then I'm also going to go back to that thing that always is my vice, which was, I didn't see enough, and I'm going to knock them down because I didn't see enough. That's going to be my vice when it comes down to, you know, Amon-Ra and doing anything with him in the off season or trying to procure him. Yeah, that's my thing.
I think another thing too, when you look at that end of season, and I know what you're talking about when he started getting like the 12 targets and 11 targets, but Jared Goff was also starting to play better football. Mm-hmm. Whether we like it or not, Jared Goff was starting to play better football and showed a certain hunger. And you can also go back to week four. I think he's 6 receptions, 8 targets, 7 for 8 week five. I mean, 8 targets week five, then 7 week six. He was getting some targets. And then a lot of the weeks after that, when he's still like 4 for 4, 4 for 4. I know the targets weren't there, but I think he was really showing that he could play in this league. And then it came to that point where Campbell said, we're going to see what this kid has and really get him the ball. And he did. I don't think this is Rashad Higgins or Olabisi Johnson type situation. I think Amon-Ra is here to stay. Maybe, and I think we saw his ceiling here at the end of the season. But I think Amon-Ra is for real. I think he's here to stay. He's one of the handful of wide receivers I'd be interested from this class.
You reminded me of a point I wanted to make too. Is I don't know if you probably do remember being a Detroit fan. He caught that touchdown in a game to win that game. I think it was their first win of the season. And ever since then, it felt like Detroit felt different. Everything, like across the board, and that's kind of the definition of like that it factor that people talk about, right? Where I feel like he's probably even more of a leader than we're hearing. You know, I think that kind of sparked a team. You know, that sparked 22 football players that play. And because I saw a lot of different things start to happen in Detroit, and you saw that happen throughout the season, and that kind of beget all of this. That happened, I think it was week 13. Mm-hmm. With that, so it was like that was pretty much the beginning of the end, meaning like the ending, the five games he had.
That's
so,
a lot of targets to be that consistent with as well. I mean, there's some clutch stud wide receivers that get some targets where you're just like, how did he only catch 7 of those 15 targets? And Amon-Ra did pretty good with his opportunity this entire season. I don't know, man. I'm thoroughly impressed. I'm pretty all in on Amon-Ra, but I think that there will. I mean, I think even like we mentioned Pittman, I think he averaged more fantasy points on a weekly basis than Pittman, and this is in his first season. Mm-hmm. I think they trust him, man. I think Dan Campbell is going to trust this kid.
So a couple things. Usually when I'm comparing...
Dave, I feel like you haven't even talked.
He wants to. He was trying to find the space.
And now I'm just going to interrupt
you. Because I'm lowercase. Because it's a lowercase. That's what it is. I know. So maybe I was uppercase. But so the first thing, too, when I'm trying to compare, because what we're doing is we're comparing year 2 wide receiver to year 1 wide receiver. So I also have to – so I want to go back and compare their rookie years to each other. And Amon-Ra is having a better rookie year, at least definitely a better finish to his rookie year than Michael Pittman did. I think overall, too, he's having better rookies, more impactful weeks. So that – and also, too, Amon-Ra is younger, which actually as the ageist that I am, that matters. I know it doesn't matter a ton, but as far as predicting what's going to happen in the future, that, you know, he was 21 for a lot of the season. He's age 22 now. So that factors in too. Now, so I think I actually, when we were having this discussion, I actually moved Amon-Ra ahead of Michael Pittman earlier. So I'm officially Amon-Ra over him, and mostly because of what we just said. But I want to just do one counter argument to the Amon-Ra versus Michael Pittman thing. When we start to split up the week, so we're doing like the last 5 weeks of the season for Amon-Ra, and Feverish mentioned a little bit about some of the sample size concerns and how Amon-Ra's been doing. Well, what happens if we had cut the season off at week 9 for Michael Pittman when he was the wide receiver 5 overall through weeks 2 through 9 and was the wide receiver 10 in points per game? He was crushing it with like 20, you know, at one point. So it's just sometimes when you start to do with splits and stuff like that, you can get a little bit too, it's unbiased. Becomes a little bit biased when you start to do with splits and whatnot. So I think, and also too, Mike, it's a little bit of flavor of the week. Michael Pittman ended the season on a poor note. He burned a lot of fantasy managers in the playoffs. So that kind of plays into it too. But all that being said is Amon-Ra, what he's been doing is very good. I echo everything. I don't want to just echo what Feverish and Swags have been saying. So I'll just say that I stamp approval that I think he's been good, and I will take Amon-Ra over that. But we also have to take a breath and remember recency bias comes in and all the things, so we don't get too ahead of ourselves. That's all I'm trying to say there.
Yeah, and just to highlight his spectacular finish, he did have a slow start with 39 catches, 352 yards, and no touchdowns in 11 games. You know, that feels a little bit more like, you know, a rookie getting his footing. But I'm with you, Swags. I, the more I hear you talk about him, the more I hear you get excited about him. I feel like it gives me just that much more permission to just let go. And that's how I'll describe it. Like, I feel
it's going to feel kind of weird.
It does. It feels weird.
I get it. I have that feeling a lot. And I'm not even trying to be like I don't know. I totally know what you mean. Sometimes you're just like, this doesn't quite feel right, but it feels right. and you know it's not supposed to, because nobody is letting – I don't know. It's weird, man. And that's kind of like what this is, sort of, is trying to figure out not only like who is safe, but when is the proper time to acquire them. And I don't think it is right now with Amon-Ra. even if you're skeptical, like Feverish may or may not be, I don't think today is the day to acquire him.
If you're skeptical and the price is, as you said, higher now than it will be in a month, do you consider, would one who is skeptical consider selling?
Yes. If you are skeptical and you don't have a good feeling, I think this is the time that you do get out of Amon-Ra St. Brown. If those are your feelings on Amon-Ra St. Brown, absolutely. You have a very, very great sell window that's probably going to stay around. Honestly, like, even though, like I say, it'll be easier to buy, like, right now, like, is your time to sell, though, if you don't feel comfortable with Amon-Ra St. Brown, help somebody else win a team with him.
And see, now this is what happens when we talk pre-show. Sometimes things start to meld a little bit, but Swags was talking about he might think that Jared Goff might be around for a little bit. They might like Jared Goff. Well, for fantasy managers, that people might not be liking that. When they say that they're not going to be drafting a rookie quarterback and they're going to be keeping Jared Goff, that might give you a sell window because people – you know, they want their wide receivers they invest a lot in, they want them attached to the upper tiered quarterbacks. And Jared Goff, it's tough to see him climbing the ranks of significantly from where he is at now. That being said, so I think you will have multiple buy windows. Like, so that's another positive narrative thing that that we hadn't touched on yet.
Yeah. And the truth is, if you want to buy Amon-Ra St. Brown, if you want to acquire him, add him to your teams, the price isn't going to go up. Even if we're wrong about everything we've said and there is no price dip in the market, it is not going up. It is at a very peak for at least a minute. He'll need more playing time before that value goes past what it is today. So if you want to wait to try to acquire him and the price doesn't go down, it's not going up any.
And actually, just to piggyback on that, Swags, like to what you said earlier, echo chamber and all that, I 100% guarantee, regardless of how you feel or I feel about a wide receiver being added to this team, value down across the board. His value will go down regardless. If you were thinking about selling and you hadn't already, well, just forget it now. Hold and wait, because that will shut the door right there.
I think that price will almost even become baked in before the wide receivers even.
Yeah, it will. Yep. Don't disagree.
If you do want to go get yourself some Amon-Ra, you don't want to wait for that. Like Swags was mentioning, you don't have to necessarily wait for that dip. You can do it now if you want to. If you think that I could see some hype train going. I could see a hype train because he's a young wide receiver. I could see a hype train going where he sustains the value. Now, that being said, I still think they're going to be dips like you're going to talk about. They draft a wide receiver. They sign a wide receiver or the quarterback. There will be dips. If you go and buy him now, you've got to ride that wave because you're buying at a peak. You can't let I think you got to go in there knowing that you might have a little bit of ups and downs here. And we should know it. If you're listening to this, you should know that that's going to be happening and you got to be able to withstand it and not just buy at a high price and sell at a low place 2 months later. Because what really has changed besides the fact that Amon-Ra really balled out for the last 5 weeks and it has put together a really stellar rookie season for a fifth or fourth round draft pick, whatever you end up being.
Absolutely. Whoa, rookie fever trivia.
Using 17 or 18 weeks.
Using your opinion and what you think may be the future. Will Davis Mills be the starting quarterback for the Texans in 2022? It's trivia you can't get wrong, guys. Well, I mean, you can, but you won't be wrong today.
I've thought about this, actually, so I don't know why.
It's a good question.
I've thought about it, too.
He could be.
Yeah, I had Ed Mills and Predators Swag. So when I had him there, I was trying to like discern like what I was really going to truly get.
We should change the name of Predators to like Rookie Fever Trifecta.
Yeah, something like that. Because they're the only ones that won it.
I think Rookie Fever took the crown in that league every season.
Triple crown.
No disrespect to what was the Predators. It is now the Rookie Fever Trifecta.
Might as well be. So I gave this some thought because I sat there and thought, like, well, what am I really going to get out of this guy? Because I know that when he got an early start this season, I tried to, like, just flip him for whatever I could, and nobody was interested. And then when he became a starter, I was holding and saying, well, hold on, like, that now, like, you know, this guy could legit start next year. I just feel like that's kind of going to be my stance right now, is that, yeah, he'll be the starter next year, but I don't think he has it. I don't think he's going to make it too long. I think we can get even a full year just because of how bad this rookie class potentially could be quarterback wise. Because, I mean, look, we saw Trey Lance. I mean, Trey Lance was, you know, a top five pick and didn't get to play all year. So, you know, to say Davis Mills, regardless of whether they draft one or not, isn't going to have a whole season, I think that's possible. I think he could have a whole season. I just don't see him as a multi-year starter for the Houston.
Had a decent season though, by all yeah, rookie quarterback means.
He had some flashes, yep. Especially with, I mean, Houston was one of the teams in the league that, like, literally had nothing at any position. I mean, they were, that must have been very difficult to work with as a quarterback, that team.
Yeah. I think you could say at times he looked better than Zach Wilson.
At times. Yeah. Had a, what was it, two or three 300 yard games in a row, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finero doesn't like the cheap things.
Yeah, isn't that weird? I'm a very untrusting person. I don't trust it.
But like, and, you said, when you tried to move him, nobody was interested.
Right.
So that tells me it probably wouldn't take too much to add him to my teams, and that the risk is minimal.
Yep. No, that was super flex. So yeah, I think the risk is minimal.
Which I kind of like. Now, Dave, I'll throw this at you first, a little off rookie basis, but I mean, this would affect Davis Mills. Do you think that Brian Flores goes to the Texans and Watson stays there?
I would have a hard time seeing that happen based on, well, one, what I've heard is that Brian Flores didn't want Deshaun Watson coming to Miami. And that was a fissure between him and Chris Greer, I believe, is the GM in Miami. And I thought that's what I've heard. I'm not sure if you guys had heard that. I haven't been paying a ton of attention.
Recently, they have said that he was the one that wanted Watson and that he wouldn't get behind him.
Oh.
And that was part of the reason he was let go.
Oh, okay. So it's been – see, this is what happens when you read – like, if I'm not reading official – like, you see something and
– I was thrown for a loop myself, Dave, honestly. So, yeah, I thought the same exact thing. But as of recently, it's came out that the problem was – that Flores wanted Watson, and he was the one that wouldn't get behind Tua in the press conferences, and it wasn't so much ownership, supposedly.
Right. This is who you're talking, like, you know, you gotta, this is tough where people are getting their sources from, so I don't want to make too much actionable stuff.
It's the current sources. Yeah, it's like, it's the current, whatever, but that's the current new news. Yeah. Yeah, whether it's true or not. I
current narrative.
It is the current source.
So, That's basically the worst case scenario for Davis Mills right there. That'd be the worst case scenario where he wouldn't be starting, as if Deshaun Watson is the quarterback in 2022 for the Houston Texans. I have a hard time seeing that because of all of the negative media that is around Watson in Houston. There's a lot. There's a lot that's been going on with the law enforcement, with the media, the public relations, and him to stay there would be pretty shocking, especially with how Watson was trying to push to be traded on top of that. So that being said, is I believe the Houston has the third overall pick, the second or third overall pick. Are they taking a QB at three? It'd be just really hard to in this class would be hard to see. I know we don't know everything, and their quarterbacks always rise up boards from where we are right now because everyone has a lot of – they rise up the boards because they're QB needy teams. But that being said, if it's a – like they spend a second-round pick or something on a quarterback – I still think Davis Mills could start the season as a starter, and they have to work the other quarterback in if it's not that top five overall pick. I think Davis Mills has earned it. They had not a ton of supporting cast there in Houston. I think Swags did a rookie trivia last week or the week before, who has the most 300 passing yards games among the rookie quarterbacks. And wasn't it?
Yeah.
So
I think he has as many as Lamar Jackson, which isn't saying much.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that's my thought process is basically, I think that to answer the original rookie trivia, if I was going to bet, I would say Davis Mills is the starter. Yeah.
They do have the third overall pick, Dave, you were right.
Okay. We're just going to stay there. I didn't plan on doing another Rookie Fever trivia so quick, but we're going to stay right there. Also, to the benefit of your opinion, would you prefer to have Josh Palmer or Nico Collins?
Josh Palmer.
Yeah, I think you want the player attached to the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
And even maybe did better with his opportunities, even if they were fewer and farther between. But when he had them, they were kind of big. I think they finished the season relatively closely, though.
Yeah, statistically, maybe, Swags. But I agree with you. I feel like Palmer was being used when they needed someone to make a first down or a touchdown. Like, I think the team, this is something I really, really have a hard time expressing, but I feel like the team knows that they found something, and they prove it through use, where I think Nico Collins is, they're still kind of hoping, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so hard to tell because of where he is and the opportunities had, where I feel like Palmer, and I feel like it's even a community thing, and I know you're not big on that, but I feel like there's a lot of chatter about Palmer, a lot. He's making me feel, I think you brought him up a few weeks ago, and I felt like, I see a world where he's just a wide receiver three, you know, and that's maybe where he sits for the next two or three years. Like, I think you might have to wait till year three or four. That's kind of going to be his thing. But I feel like more confident about year three and four with him, you know, a lot more confident.
He's one of the cheaper wide receivers that I'm still interested in from this class that I think you could acquire relatively cheap. Before we hopped on the show together, I made a list of the players from this draft class that I would still be interested in adding to my fantasy teams. And he was my wide receivers are Jamar Chase, Waddle, Elijah Moore, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Devontae Smith, Josh Palmer, and maybe Nico Collins, even worded that way. And the maybe is huge. Like, I almost didn't even add Nico to the list. And then it was just kind of like, maybe Nico Collins. But some of these players now, it's just kind of like at the point where their price is, what am I going to get out of them per my lineups? And what will they really do? And the other wide receivers, I mean, I'm guessing there's a couple that you guys are wanting to squeeze onto that wide receiver list, but I have concerns about that. I just wonder when they'll make my lineup.
Yeah. Mine will be Bateman. I do like seeing you come around on Devonta Smith, though. He, the one thing he did that I know you were concerned about, and several people with concerns about his size, was a healthy season, and he played every single game and had a fantastic rookie season. I wish he could have joined the 1,000 yard club. We had three guys in this rookie class go over 1,000 yards, and all of them, by the way, were without week 18. Yes. Some of them needed week 18 to break certain records, certain all-time records. Sure. I know Pitts fell short, but we had three, and we haven't had three since the Odell Beckham year and Mike Evans year. So that was exciting. But right below that, we had very good rookie wide receivers like a Devonta Smith with close to 950 yards on the season. And even running backs, there's running backs that were just shy of 1,000 yards on the season. If you go all purpose, they're clearly over. So it was definitely a fun class for achievements, if you will.
And I would even say that Devonta Smith didn't do it in the most favorable situation. I know a lot of people, we get really excited about Jalen Hurts and how he's helped our fantasy teams. And it's been exciting to watch. I'm not even trying to throw shade his way, but I think of him more similar still to like somebody like Lamar Jackson, who isn't always going to benefit his wide receivers. And having to step up and be that number one target so quickly on the team. And that, again, that I just don't think is that favorable situation. I think you have to recognize what.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, I would argue, and I know a lot of Eagles fans aren't going to like this, so if you want to turn down your radio or whatnot, I would argue that Goff and Tim Boyle in combination were better throwing quarterbacks than Hurts.
Yeah.
That's, you know, like we'll shit on Tim Boyle and we'll shit on Goff, and we don't even know if Goff's a starting quarterback on this team next year. I think he will be. I agree with you.
Jalen Hurts might be the better player for your team to win because he can run. I mean Philadelphia running the ball.
Yeah. And he's the better fantasy athlete. And I get it,
but better throwing quarterback, absolutely.
Right.
I will say, though, I don't think a lot of Philadelphia fans thought that Jalen Hurts was going to lead their team to the playoffs, right?
Sure.
Isn't that fair, Fanero?
I don't think
so. I'm still having a hard time believing that team made the playoffs.
Oh, same here. But
I'm a really hard time. They squeaked in.
They squeaked in, and I'm sure the new formatting helps, the new extra team getting in helps and all that stuff. But it's still, he had a lot of negative people. A lot of people love to hate on Jalen Hurts, but he got them to the playoffs, which is saying something. But actually, going quickly back to the Josh Palmer, Nico Collins argument, just to weigh in a little bit. So I know Josh Palmer had the extra touchdown, so it seems a little bit separate them a little bit from a fantasy points perspective. And we saw Josh Palmer more because the Chargers were more carried on the red zone because they were competing for the playoffs. I think we're more exposed to Josh Palmer than Nico Collins. But Nico Collins actually had an average of 15% target share the last 4 weeks, 1% more. That's minimal more, but a little bit more than Josh Palmer did. Averaged more targets than Josh Palmer did. Only had one last touchdown. He finally got on the board with a touchdown. And so while I don't have a problem with saying, hey, like I said, Josh Palmer over Nico Collins, but they both started to show some positive trends towards the end of the season, which at least is compared to how the beginning of their seasons went, you can't hate on it. Seeing, hey, the last 4 weeks, a month almost the season, 15% target share, over 5 targets per game. Those are, for both players, compared to where you were at some point in the beginning of the season or in midseason, you got to be happy about.
Well, you actually kind of reminded me of a point that I think needs to be made with Palmer, which was who he was competing for those targets.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I mean, that target competition is intense. You know, I mean, like, really intense, where I feel like Nico Collins had very little to compete with.
Hey, Brandon Cook's phenomenal wide receiver. Yeah. Phenomenal wide receiver on an island by himself.
I will give you Brandon Cook's being, like, you know, competition for sure.
Brandon Cook's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I would give you that.
But I'm not being sarcastic. I think he's a good player.
But that's one body. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's, you know, like
Revan Jordan, future all pro. Come on, rookie fever, baby.
The negative on Palmer, though, and I think this is more about style of play than anything, was he did seem to battle Guyton a little longer than I would have liked throughout this rookie season. Even right up to the end, he was battling time with Guyton. I haven't looked closely at snap shares, but I think it's just because Guyton's just a different wide receiver, and if they need that long play, I think it's more likely going to be Guyton than Palmer. But that was like a concern of mine, like if I had to overanalyze, which I like to do, how good Palmer could be, that was a concern of mine that it took that long to kind of, you know, eke in there.
Yeah. Any interest in my bottom barrel running back that I'd still be interested in Jared Patterson?
You know, I have owned a ton of Jared Patterson, so I don't know if I'm answering that question in a biased way, negative biased way, actually. So because I own so many shares, I believe that I was hoping for a little more with the absence and I would say nagging injury that Gibson had this season. I was looking for what we got out of Patterson his last game plus, like, that last game was like a little teaser, and I felt like that's all I got. I didn't get anything on top of that. And I just felt like that was his – running backs don't get like multiple years. I mean, minus a few. Like we're seeing Penny do it now and things like that. Running backs kind of need to do this early. And what I mean by that is flash and kind of earn that role. So that was a little annoying. I do feel like his situation is great for next year. I don't think I think he probably slides into that two role again. So if, you know, Gibson's going to continue to be in and out of the lineup, we'll get a chance to see a little bit more. But I want it, Swags. I do. I want it. But I already own a lot of it, so I won't be getting any more.
Is going to be one of those players that everybody likes Antonio Gibson so much. And he had a hell of a season. But everybody's going to like him so much that Patterson, people
forgotten,
will hardly be interested in him.
That's fair. Yeah.
And I might try to add a little bit in, to be honest with you, just to see. I mean, I'm not talking about going out there and throwing it all in, you know, but maybe like Patterson is the player I'm trying to acquire from you, but then I make an offer for Brandon Ayuk and Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't even know. This is not a real scenario. I haven't looked at teams enough to even be targeting this kind of move, but maybe that's the kind of move you make, you know, somebody that you make it look like you're targeting Brandon Ayuk when you're really targeting Jarrett Patterson.
Instead of asking for a fourth back, he asked for Jarrett Patterson back. Sure. You know, something like that. And I was just looking at Jarrett Patterson a little bit here, too. First off, when the question was, do I want Jarrett Patterson? Yes, because I want any running back who's on – I'm trying to amass every running back who's on a roster in the offseason. I want to try to get – that's what I'm feeling. I'm not filling up these waiver wide receivers like these – third or fourth year wide receivers. I'm cut and bait that haven't showed anything. I'm just mass piling running backs at the back end of my roster. So yes, Jarrett Patterson. But what I like to see is that he was on special teams a lot over the season, Finero. For the first 11 or 12 weeks, he was played special teams. He was a core special teamer. But the last 5 weeks, as he started to have consistent workload, four carries or, you know, over, he had, you know, over 20 rushing yards of the last 5 weeks or 4 weeks. And trying to look at overall snaps, but he had over 10 snaps, all 10 offensive snaps the last 5 weeks of the season. He didn't get special teams. He is no longer, they weren't even running him up on special teams. They were had him, no, he is one of our, in our running back rotation. And I know they had some injuries and what have you and everything, but that's something that's positive to me that he just wasn't, hey, it's because he can do both. That's why we're keeping him and rolling him out there. No, he's part of this core for this little run here because of our certain situation, but makes me hopeful for next season.
Yeah, they didn't have to bring in Le'Veon Bell or anything. They trusted Paris. They trusted Patterson that much.
We're not going much further anyway. Let's just run with what we got.
I see the same things you're looking at, Dave, and I guess my hopes were maybe a little unrealistic for someone like Patterson being drafted as late as he was, undrafted, actually.
But I mean, you've seen the role McKissick had in that offense. Mm-hmm. They had two viable running backs most of the season.
Well, that's the thing you like, right? So most of us don't believe McKissick's going to be back. And then you see that, you know, Dave was talking about the rushes. That last game, which is what I was talking about, he had 12 rushes for 57 yards, but it was that touchdown, which was a nice little scamper. But it's the five receptions for 41 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That could possibly, you know, change things next year.
Five for five, too, right?
Five for five, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
The thing you want to see with UDFAs, if they stick on a roster, that is huge. He stuck on that roster all season. You know who didn't stick on a freaking roster? Javien Hawkins, my boy. Yeah. No, he's a butt. Like, this is a good thing.
CJ Marable isn't on a roster.
Yep. So this is a positive thing. This is someone, he's going to be a Justin Jackson. He could have a Justin Jackson type role in 4 years where you need to start him for a stretch. This is the type of player that is you want on the back end of a dynasty squad.
Yeah. And Gibson really didn't miss much time this season until that last game. I think he might have missed two games. I don't really know, but I was surprised when I looked at it because every week he was banged up. He was questionable. It would sound like he wasn't going to play, but then he was there.
Yeah, he was underperforming. He was definitely playing injured.
Mm-hmm.
But he was out there and he's going to be getting touches and snaps. You're right. It makes it even that much more difficult to show production.
A little higher priced player that I've been shaking the tree on a little bit, see if anything will fall down. Michael Carter. Just seeing where people are on him. I could see the Jets definitely adding a running back. That could definitely happen. But he showed some PPR upside that is intriguing. What happens if he gets that kind? He doesn't have to fight for that role early on. It stays healthy. That's someone that if I don't have to give up a ton for, like if I have a second and another piece, I'm totally cool with going to get Mike. The running back landscape is ugly. It is an ugly landscape after the top 18 or so, and maybe not even that many. But so definitely worth shaking the tree on Michael Carter, in my opinion.
I'd rather have Michael Carter than Ramondre Stevenson. I'll put that out there.
It's close.
Yeah, I'd rather have Michael Carter.
Would you rather have those running backs or Pittman? How bad is that running back landscape?
It's ugly, dude.
So is it bad enough to where you're trading away Pittman to get Carter?
It becomes league specific for me at that point. But that's a cop out. Nothing's in a vacuum. Blah blah blah.
Man. You can put it in a vacuum. You can keep it in there, and I'm taking Pittman all day. I don't care if I'm starting Rex Burkhead. I'm going to take Pittman.
I can find a wide receiver wherever, so I'm okay with getting rid of Michael.
I agree, man. But man, I just don't know if I can totally get behind Carter or not, or Stevenson for that matter. And I agree with most of what you said, to be completely fair. But for me, my team build, he's probably my fourth to sixth running back. And I'm curious what the price is for him, because you just hesitated at Pittman. And man, if you come to me for Pittman, he's probably my wide receiver 3 or 4 with my team build. And I'm probably going to find a quicker way for him to be into my wide receiver spot than I am for Carter to even be in my flex spot. My team build. My team
yeah.
build.
Yeah. And yeah, it's so definitely
is, I guess a little it. Is out of the vacuum. But so for me, man, to give up Pittman or Amon-Ra, that area we were talking earlier for Carter, I can't do it. And I like my running backs.
Yeah, I thought that was super interesting to both have you pose that question and answer it. I think my answer would probably be similar, because I'm still gonna be worried about Carter more than I'm not really worried about Pittman at all. So my concerns with Carter would be too high to make that deal. I would want the Pittman side.
Security. Maybe I'm wrong about the price point. Maybe I can get Carter at a price that I'd be content with to have on my roster.
Well, I think that was Dave's point.
Yeah, just shaking the tree.
Yeah.
Is Jamar Jefferson dead because of Craig Reynolds?
I don't think Jamar Jefferson is just going to be gone.
He'll still be on the team, right? But as Reynolds secured that oh my God, I guess it's the 3 spot, right? Because is Williams going to be there next year?
He has 1 year left in that deal, right?
Yeah,
I can see Jamar Jefferson being the eventual handcuff to Swift, even if it's a couple of years out.
Okay, I had somebody.
That's how I view it.
I had somebody in a very uninteresting way come at me for Denzel Mims, which I don't value much at all right now. And the offer was Jamar Jefferson, and it just wasn't really interesting.
I think I might still rather have Mims, even with what I just said. You know, like I want Jamar Jefferson cheaper than I want Patterson.
Oh yeah. Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah. Like, but I do absolutely. Think that he eventually will be that guy. Like, I think there'll be weeks when Swift missed times and Jamar Jefferson will help some teams out.
Oh, hey, sometimes we get criticism. Not enough disagreement on Rookie Fever. Well, I'm going to disagree with you guys and say I want Justin Jefferson on my fantasy team just so I can make trades. People think that I'm giving them Justin Jefferson. That's why I...
the J Jefferson.
Yeah, I don't think his 15 carries all season is enough to have me move Mims.
No, and Mims could be done too, but you never...
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous.
I get it, dude. I think I'd rather have Mims in that situation, too. It's also one of those trades where it's just like, yeah, why? Why
are we even doing this? My answer to him was maybe question mark.
Like, can I get a fifth back?
Yeah, there was a
And do you have Swift?
No.
If I don't have Swift, yeah, I don't even care about it. I'm uninterested. I'd way rather have Denzel
Mims. It looks like Mims is on his way out. Maybe change of scenery. Who knows?
Any interest in Elijah Mitchell? That's probably the wrong way to ask that question, because obviously there's going to be some kind of interest in Elijah Mitchell. But how do you feel about that moving forward?
Well, I trade Elijah Mitchell or Marquise Brown for Elijah Mitchell, not knowing that Elijah Mitchell was going to be out for the playoffs, and it screwed me over because I really needed a starting running back for the playoffs. But so, yeah, I guess I'm interested in Elijah Mitchell.
Would you do that deal today?
Ugh. It is so hard with these non-guaranteed running backs. Not like you're not an RB1. It is really difficult because you so many landmines in the season, like a free agency, drafts, all these landmines that you have to escape. Like that was basically Myles Gaskin. That's why Myles Gaskin's price was decreased all off season last
in
year.
This because, running back landscape.
True. I think if Elijah Mitchell was not a 6th round draft pick or whatever he was, I think he was a 6th round draft pick, he would be a top 15 back right now. People are really still snobbing about his draft capital right now.
Yeah, see, that's funny. I'm a draft capital snob when it comes to that shit. And the draft capital doesn't concern me about Elijah Mitchell. It's San Francisco that does. I can't get past the San Francisco part of it. Like, I believe that Elijah Mitchell is going to play and be the starter because I'm not worried about Trey Sermon. If you're not worried about Trey Sermon, there's not really much left on that team to be that concerned about. If you're going to concern about anybody else, they were on the field and they still wanted Elijah Mitchell for 15 or 20 carries a game. Elijah Mitchell and anybody on that roster has already won that spot. But I just have no freaking clue what San Francisco is going to do from year to year at that spot. So, like, I don't have any dynasty love for Elijah Mitchell. I have a redraft love for him. Like, if I was in a redraft league, I'm drafting him next year. Like, I'm about him next year. I just have no freaking clue beyond that.
Luckily, San Francisco sucks at drafting running backs for the most part, so I guess it would be good. They can spend a second-round draft pick and miss again, so who, you know, like, that's...
They can't suck that much when they picked up Elijah Mitchell.
You know, but you know what I'm trying to say, like, yeah. The Joe Williams back in the day when Kyle Shanahan was pounding the table for Joe Williams, that whole... I'm joking. That's mostly... I don't really... That's
that's my thing with Elijah Mitchell, though, man. Like, I like the player. I do. I like the player. He's, like, probably my favorite San Francisco running back in this whole slew mess over the last 2 or 3 years that they've gone through. I really like him. And I think they do, too. I mean, to give him what they gave him this season with those other healthy options coming back, I know they didn't want to originally. I know that Mostert was the guy. But we all knew that Mostert wasn't going to make it past 3 or 4 games. I don't think he made it past 1. You know, it's one of those things where it's just like, we've seen this. It's like a broken record over there. Like, it's going to happen again. And it's just, it sucks a little bit because I think Elijah Mitchell's good. I think he's good.
Rookie fever trivia. Finero, you just inspired this question for me. You didn't even know it. Trey Sermon or Jamar Jefferson?
Trey Sermon.
Seems.
It's almost tough. So, Finero, I was in a similar situation as you were with your Denzel Mims, but I sent, and I do have Swift, but I tried to send, should I say, my N'Keal Harry to get Jamar Jefferson, and it was declined. And then the counteroffer that he sent was he wanted my Trey Sermon for his Jamar Jefferson, in which I also declined. And then didn't send another offer because I was just like, I'm not doing this. Not playing these games. Like, it was fair to begin with.
There's an outside chance the light goes on and he messes up Elijah Mitchell's starting role and eats into that. Like, I think Trey Sermon, when faced with him or Jamar Jefferson, I'm going to take the 20% chance he flips the light on.
Yeah. Or that Elijah Mitchell shows up to camp, flexes wrong, says he's the man, and then Shanahan's like, I'm the man, dude. Like, you're not the man. You're not the man.
There's a lot going on over there, that's for sure. No, I think Elijah Mitchell will stay away from those things.
Any other players you guys are sorry we didn't touch on too much this evening?
I mean, I know we don't do it a lot, so I'm not sorry about it, but I think we were really excited about, I know I was, about this quarterback class. I actually thought that this quarterback class was going to be the thing that really defined it. I really did. I mean, we had some amazing talent at the collegiate level. And the one that we wound up talking about, or not on this show, but maybe Dynasty people have talked about the most, is Mac Jones. Mm-hmm. He finished with the second best completion percentage by a rookie in QB history. Second best completion percentage in rookie QB history, just behind Dak Prescott. He also posted the 5th most passing yards by a rookie in NFL history. It's one of those things where he wasn't supposed to be a guy, right? I mean, he got a great landing spot. He probably might has the best landing spot, you know, minus maybe Trey Lance. I think we really love that landing spot for Trey, but he probably had the best landing spot, but he wasn't like, he was another one of these quarterbacks that got drafted like at the end of all the other quarterbacks that were supposed to be better. And he had one hell of a rookie season. And he's in the playoffs to boot. So I think, so wins aren't necessarily, you know, a quarterback stat, but, you know, at the helm all season long, he went 10-7 when the other 5 quarterbacks combined went 11-42.
You guys aren't playing enough QB win leagues, I'm telling you.
Gotta get in those QB win leagues. QB
win leagues. You guys shit on my air yards leagues. Well, all right. Well, what about QB win leagues?
Do you have air yard leagues?
No.
That would be awesome.
That's a long running joke, though, because air yards don't score fantasy points.
Spaceman. Anybody else you wanted to hit, man? Hitman? Spaceman?
I would have. Nope. You know what? Yes, I would have said that one thing about Elijah Mitchell that we didn't get to was he started seeing targets at the end of the season. He had 2 games over 5 targets, another one with 3. That was the criticism early on. So not only was he starting to get this volume, you know, they won't start Trey Lance because they're trying to make the playoffs, but they're certainly going to start Elijah Mitchell, their 6th round running back. So that just shows you how, I know it's apples and oranges here, but I'm just trying to catch Shanahan in his web of lies here. But it just shows you a little bit too. You know, it's an important situation, and they felt comfortable to give, what, 20 touches to in a must-win game to Elijah Mitchell? 22. Yeah. Oh, my God. Down the stretch, 27 rush attempts, 27 rush attempts, 22 rush attempts
Yep. That last game,
I know we missed some games, but
that last game you were talking about was, you know, he's coming off a you know, multiple week injury too. So
Dave likes Elijah Mitchell a little bit more than he let on the last time we talked about him 30 seconds ago.
I talked myself into it. I forgot I made that deal. I gotta like him.
Well, the exciting thing about Elijah
Mitchell over Hollywood today, though, and I don't like Mitchell that much.
Wow.
I do that
The exciting thing, one more exciting thing about Elijah Mitchell is that we get to see more Elijah Mitchell versus the Cowboys because he's going to the playoffs. We get to see more Devonta Smith versus Tampa Bay, more Jamar Chase versus the Raiders, more Rondell Moore, Dave, versus the Rams.
He doesn't play. He doesn't play.
We're going to see a little more not playing from Kenny Gainwell versus Tampa Bay. Pat Freiermuth, nice. We all like a little Muth over there against the Chiefs. And then the guy I mentioned, Mac Jones versus the Bills, which is going to be a tough game for him.
Nice. Which you could see some value fluctuations in some of these players should they have amazing games. It might be a good time to acquire some of that list of players at Artbark TV, just mentioned. Also here with at FF underscore Spaceman, I am Matt Swagzilla 0G. Dave Wright is suspended from Final Thoughts until further notice.
God. Thank God. Oh, my God. I was worried he's going to come back to me again. I was like, I just panicked for a second.
No, you're suspended. Dave. It's not a good thing. You're the kid that's like, oh, sweet, I get to stay home. No, it's not a good thing, Dave. It's not a good thing.
I guess I don't have enough thoughts. I just don't have enough thoughts.
You just don't want them to be final.
Yeah, these are evolving thoughts.
Too much pressure.
So I'm going to come at you with some instead. So Feverish, you sort of gave me this idea a little bit last week when we were talking pre-show, and you mentioned the fantasy season was ending and we're coming into this season that's a little bit more fun for us to talk about at times, to be quite honest with you, a little bit more free-spirited. The grind changes a little bit. And it made me think about a problem I have with myself. And I think a lot of people, I don't think I'm alone. Maybe I am. I don't think I'm alone with this. I think it's part of our culture, and I think we have a serious issue. And Finero, I had some of the same feelings that you had before I go into this, but I'm also trying to find ways to enjoy things more because I don't think I'm very good at it. Like and even things that I have fun with in those moments, I always am trying to find ways to get to the end of them. The end of my day, that one final thing I want to get done that I can just finally sit there and feel relieved. Even the things like I'm having fun with it with my kids. Sometimes just when it's done, you're like, that was fun, but sweet, you know, like on to the next thing. Even when I'm having fun, I don't know how to enjoy these moments. And I don't know how long I've been this way or how to change it. I don't know how to fix it. But I'm going to try. And I think we should all like try to enjoy our moments that we have, including these ones. I had fun with you guys. Still the same. I want to get the hell out of here. We are at Rookie Fever and we are out. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you're gone on a treat you ride. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, when you hold me tight. Fever all through the night. Everybody's got the fever. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scouting? He's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone, silence be just on real landing spot, not ideal. Wait, let's break out a full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same.
when he pulled his arms around her. He said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's beat the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
You can't have it both ways. If you want me to like afterwards say the same thing that you say or repeat every time, which is, wow, I really like when we go in and this is kind of cool, you're not gonna get me happy about it right now because I'm uncomfortable right now. So you aren't gonna get it on both ends.